You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Cool Kids in the first segment. We are in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia, in the Total Soccer Show studios. What an honor. And we get very serious very quickly. Racism is brought up on this show. I don't know how often TSS talks about racism in soccer, but we do it very much on this show. And a lot of fun stuff. World Cup Comedy Store tour. We're still crushing it.
Now, in the second segment, I'm not here. This isn't fair. It's now a swingers podcast, but Taylor Rockwell of the Total Soccer Show is going to be here taking my place. That's completely unfair.
Subbing in for Alexis Guerreros.
I want none of this.
Where's he's been replaced.
Christian's mine, you son of a bitch. You better not take him. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! Come on!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This feels strange.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like it.
I think I like it too much.
Really?
That's where we differ. Welcome to the show, everybody. Yeah, the reason we're a little perturbed, as they say, we are in TSS Studios, TSS Tower, as they say. We are in Total Soccer Show's studio as we're recording this right now. So this definitely feels like an away game.
Yeah, I feel like we're together and we're doing what we normally do, but the surroundings are so different that it feels like what we're doing is different.
Yeah.
It feels like we're going to do a different show. It feels like I'm going to pick up an English accent at some point, and it feels like you and I are going to break down plays down to like where the position of the player's foot was.
Yes. I have all my notes ready.
Yeah.
I have
me too. I have this book covered in crayon.
I have my Daryl Grove glasses.
Yes.
I'm ready to go. No, this is exciting. Well, again, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans podcast, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And yes, we are your favorite stand-up comedians who are currently on a tour, who host the funniest soccer podcast
and
on
the funniest comedy soccer tour.
The funniest comedy soccer tour. And on top of that, we host the gulliest goddamn soccer podcast you've ever heard.
And by the way, we're in Virginia right now.
Yeah.
We're like, guns are mad legal here. So this literally could be.
Yeah, yeah. That's how the NRA frames it. They're like, yo, guns are mad legal out here. Yeah. Don't be trying to take my guns away.
Yo, son, we got mad freedoms out here. Come and get that spat.
Yes.
So we literally could be, right now, this could literally be the gulliest podcast on the planet. Because we could both be packing. You never know.
Who knows? Yeah, imagine we just strapped doing this podcast. People would take this podcast a little bit more seriously,
wouldn't they? Yeah. I mean, Men in Blaze is going to have to check that shit at the door, my guy.
All right, well, don't make threats on the radio. Alexis, all right. Guys, all right, let's make it very clear. We are joking this entire time. We are not carrying firearms.
We're not carrying firearms.
Alexis is going to get us in trouble.
Or are we?
what you know about that?
So welcome to the show. That's right. We are in Virginia. We're in the middle, very much in the middle of the World Cup comedy tour.
Yeah.
We're doing something exciting for this show. This is definitely a more special episode than usual because
this is crazy.
This is crazy. This is unprecedented.
When you hear about it, you're going to be like, why were they saying, why didn't they tell us what it was before saying it's crazy? But trust me when I tell you, it's crazy.
So we're doing the official Cooligans and Total Soccer Show podcast swap.
We're becoming swingers.
Yeah. Okay. Look, this tends to happen after a long marriage.
3 years, we got the 3-year itch.
after a long relationship.
This doesn't tend to happen.
after a long relationship, you start feeling like, you know what? It'd be nice to spice things up a little bit.
You know,
I don't want to end anything.
No. We want to keep it. But for now, let's just throw our keys in this bowl and get crazy.
You know, Virginia is for lovers.
Yeah, apparently.
So we have to take advantage of that. So Taylor Rockwell, it will be joining the Cooligans podcast later on this show. And Alexis Guerreros will be on the Total Soccer Show.
I can't wait.
So you're listening to this Wednesday, right? Wednesday, July 25th is when this is being released. So as you're listening to this right now, just keep in mind that Taylor Rockwell will be on this show shortly after this segment. It will be Taylor Rockwell taking over for Alexis Guerrero's, and we'll see. We'll see if he does better than Alexis Guerrero.
Uh-oh. I mean,
that's really the danger.
All right,
here.
We didn't know we were putting me under pressure like that. I had no idea.
Maybe it's an audition. Maybe it isn't. So Taylor Rockwell is going to be on this show, and Alexis will be on the Total Soccer Show. So please go listen to that.
Yeah, go listen to the Total Soccer Show because I'm going to go ruin that podcast.
So after you listen,
it's going to be pretty dope.
After you listen to this, go listen to Total Soccer Show and see how Alexis did on a much more. A professional, more tactically inclined soccer show where
that's what it was before I got there. Everything changes.
Things are going to be a little different when baby Alexis gets on this, baby.
Sweet baby Alexis is going to come in there like, why are you reading all these stats?
Throw all the papers on the ground.
I'm going to just mess up all his index cards.
Yo, it's all this goddamn math, dog.
yo, you trying to make me look stupid, dog? Don't you know what we do around here? Why do you think I got this gun for?
So it's gonna be a little interesting.
This gun means I never gotta do math.
Yeah, I think so. Look, this show is, we know that this show can tend to be a little bit wacky, right? We obviously just talked
wacky.
About
talking about Morning Zoo,
talking about being strapped while we're doing a podcast. Obviously, this show is one of the sillier of the soccer shows.
I'm the sillier of the two.
Yes,
and I'm gonna go on
the serious one.
Which, by the way, those guys have jokes; they're funny.
Yeah,
but the ratio of dumb to smart is the opposite of us.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
It's gonna be fun. So we're switching wild cards.
Yeah.
That's basically what each show is doing. So, but very fun. So make sure you go listen to that. So Total Soccer Show, they're on iTunes, on totalsoccershow.com, but make sure you check that out. So,
by the way, speaking of the tour that we're on,
yes,
so many people are coming up to me and saying, you guys are so funny. Someone goes, I thought you were fatter from the way you talk about yourself on the radio.
That's been the biggest surprise for a lot of people that are meeting us for the first time.
They literally thought I was going to come up to the stage on a Rascal scooter. These people think I'm a monster. I guess I talk about myself in a much.
Well, yeah. When they see me, they're like, wow, you're a lot taller than I expected.
Yeah.
And then when they see you, they're like, you're less fat than I thought.
Yeah. Hey, no one says the word skinnier.
No one
would dare go there.
No. Yeah, they look at you like, you ain't that fat.
Yeah. Come on, man. Also, we happen to be in the South right now where we're like, man, you ain't fat for another 30 pounds, bro. What are you, only double XL? You don't get fat till 6XL. But one of the things that people keep saying to me is like, Christian is so sincere. Like things like that. And what I've realized is people are trying to let me know that I drag you down with me.
Oh, without a doubt.
I pull you to the filth.
Well, look, that's the balance of this show. You're the fat monster.
Yeah. And you're the tall sweetheart.
I'm the tall sweetheart. Yeah. Okay. Look, we know
we got rolls. We got rolls. Speaking of rolls, great food out here.
Yeah, Virginia has been the food has been pretty good.
By the way, I didn't tell you this. I went to breakfast. Christian has family out here. He went to go eat with.
Yeah, yeah.
The place that we went to go eat was the place we went to yesterday. And while I was there,
Pops
I ordered,
Market.
Went to Pops Market on Grace. If mm-hmm. you if you ever find yourself in Richmond, Virginia, this is the only place you need to eat. It's absolutely incredible. But they gave us a tour of the kitchen, and we got to watch them cook a little bit yesterday, which was pretty cool on their day off. Today they were open, and the bread guy was in, so I wanted to try the bagels. Pretty good.
Doesn't even have a name. He's just the bread guy.
Is the bread guy? Their bagels are very good, by the way. There's probably something missing that would make it a New York bagel. If you want to know what it is, email me.
Flavor? Deliciousness?
No. It's like, that sour funkiness you get in a New York bagel from letting it rise for 3 days.
Oh, I know.
You know that already. Remember, guys, this is the food portion of the podcast. The reason I brought this up is I ordered the bagel sandwich, and then he comes over with a biscuit sandwich, and he was like, come on, you can't just get a bagel. So he brought a massive biscuit sandwich. I've been here for less than 2 days, and I'm already getting free food at restaurants.
Look at that.
you know, how do you expect me to be skinny? And like, I, you know, my wife's like, did you drink a smoothie? No.
Richmond is trying to get you as fat as everyone thinks you are.
Yeah, exactly. We need to plump you up. The shows have been awesome.
We've been talking about the World Cup Comedy Tour, and we've been telling you to buy tickets. If you haven't bought tickets, if you listen to the show and we're coming to your city and you have not bought tickets, you're out of your goddamn mind.
Remember, we're strapped now. you need to buy them tickets.
We're bringing it across state lines. All right, dog?
We got no fear. We gully as hell.
Yo, yeah, we're walking through TSA. Yo. Yeah, what, son?
We waving it.
Yeah, we're getting on this plane and we're sleeping.
Yeah. Do I put this gun on the conveyor belt or in one of those little hats? One of those little plastic white hats. One of them dog water bowls.
It's not a funny situation. Don't bring a gun to the airport. There's some people who might be like, look, there might be some younger listeners that are like, can we bring our guns to the airport and travel with them? And they're going to be
You just won't be allowed on the plane.
The cooligan said, you think I could bring.
Your mom's like, well, who are these gangsters you're listening to?
It's this, you know why? I blame hip hop. I know it's not a hip hop show, but I'm blaming it anyway.
Actually, my real fear is that someone's going to hear, I thought we were allowed to bring guns on an airplane, and someone's going to be like, you're damn right. If we were really free, we would. What if the only person who could protect a bad guy with a gun on an airplane is a good guy with a gun on an airplane?
We just hope that doesn't happen. No. So, but the tour has been incredible. We've done 3 shows so far. We have been through.
They keep getting better.
Omaha, it's amazing. Last week we only talked about the. We recorded after the Omaha, Nebraska show.
Right, so everyone missed out on the Kansas City.
So the following day we had the Kansas City show.
Yeah.
Which was a blast. So fun. The United Soccer Coaches, which is their offices are headquartered in Kansas City.
And that's the one that does the big conference just before the MLS draft.
Exactly.
So if you've seen the MLS draft, that's done at the United Soccer Coaches.
Yeah, some
conference.
People, the United Soccer Coaches is exactly what it sounds like. It is an institution that helps grow the game through coaching and give.
It's the education arm of people wanting to get their license.
Exactly. So a lot of good people doing great
gun
work.
Licenses.
Gun licenses.
That's how you get your gun license.
Yeah.
Don't yell at your coach.
That's when you see Tata Martino on the sideline with just strapped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you already knew he was getting it because he's Argentinian. Them dudes, Argentinian soccer dudes just shoot for the fun of it. You know what I mean? They don't even aim.
So, the shows have been fun. And there were a lot of, just to explain who is going to these shows. This is, because there's some people who might be huge soccer fans. There's some people who just might be fans of comedy, you know?
Yeah.
It is a real mixture of the two. We're getting the people in the crowd are diehard soccer, either soccer fans, work in soccer in
some
way.
Like a lot of AO people.
Yeah,
American Outlaws are coming out. Yeah. Supporters groups of local soccer teams are coming out. Like Richmond Kickers groups were out in numbers.
And players. And Richmond
Kickers players.
Yeah.
Gorgeous players.
Yes. Yeah, in Kansas City, we have Sporting Kansas City fans, Swope Park fans. We hung out with Swope Park Rangers.
We did a video with Swope Park Rangers. They're coming out soon.
With
we
Fucci.
Played Fucci.
Fucci.
Huh?
Hey.
Little Fucci?
Little Stanley Fucci.
Yeah. Great actor. He's been in a lot of movies. Fucci gang, Fucci gang, Fucci gang, Fucci gang.
You know
how it is. We played with Swope Park Rangers players.
Yeah.
And some Sporting Kansas City Academy players.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is so dope.
It was super cool. So,
and at first, they didn't want to be a part of it, but I shamed them. I called them mad soft.
You did, yeah.
There was one dude with cornrows who was like, yo, let's get up. Let's do this now.
If you ever wondered if Alexis would bully soccer academy players, he almost did.
Almost immediately.
Almost immediately.
I mean, I went right to it. I was like, y'all don't want to play?
Oh, you guys getting homeschooled?
Yeah.
I'll teach you what you're missing out on in public school.
Oh, so this is like a fun, safe space environment? Well, I'm here now. And y'all asses are messed up. So I said that, the coaches were like, please don't. Please don't say that.
So the shows themselves have been filled with just soccer fans, comedy fans, and people who are just involved in soccer. So a lot of times we'll talk after the show and do a thing that we don't normally get to do just when we do regular stand-up shows, which is we get to like talk soccer and how people are trying to help grow the game in a very real way.
We're learning. Like, Omaha, Nebraska, not a city anyone has ever wanted to go to. Even the people who live there are like, I don't think I want to go home.
They're like, why did you come here?
Yeah, they literally were like, I'm so happy anyone came, really. But one thing I found out is there's just like this incredible grassroots soccer, you know, activity happening there. There's such an amount of energy for trying to get people just involved in the world of soccer. They don't have an MLS team. They don't have the dreams of an MLS team. They've got... I think there's one soccer-specific stadium per person in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, they're very much.
They're everywhere. And they seem to really love their local teams and are building, like, a cool atmosphere around it. Every city. We're learning so much more about how much people really give a shit about soccer.
Yeah, that's been the really cool thing, where it's more than just like, hey, guys, you were very funny. It's like, you were very funny, and... I like what you guys are doing. This is important. It feels like the fact that we're bringing everybody together in a comedy club. It's like you don't even understand that the level of trying to convince the comedy club owners that this is a real thing, that this is like that soccer fans are coming to a comedy club. They can't believe it.
They honestly, comedy club owners and bookers are so old school.
Oh, very much.
So we're going to do a soccer show, though.
Dude, they got a big cigar in their mouth with a fedora.
Listen up, kid. It's just binders stacked on top of each other. They're all
soccer show. Like, hey, maybe, does it end with the aristocrats?
Yeah.
You know? They don't understand.
All right, what's the gimmick? Tell me. You say soccer, and then when you're in here, you sell them what? You sell them on a pyramid scheme or something.
What's the scam?
Yeah. I got to admit it, kid. This is good. No one else is doing soccer. How do we cheat these people out of money? But like they don't realize that there's a fan base for it. So Mike Magid, who did all the legwork getting this tour going, he basically just promised, like, look, I promise you fans will come out. And it was proven last night here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Like literally, like what? There was like 6-8 chairs left.
Yeah.
The place was just jam packed. There was just enough room for the video recorder. Camcorder? Camera? Is that what those are the words that I should be using? Oh, Daryl, watch it. He's going to get so frustrated. And I got to say, Mike Magid asked, raise your hands if you've never been to the Richmond Funny Bone before. And I'm not kidding when I tell you 70% of that audience raised their hand. And that's...
The soccer fans do not like to laugh.
Yeah, no. A lot of them are very serious about soccer, as we know on this podcast. But I will say, we really are bridging the gap between soccer and comedy. This is actually happening.
Yeah, it's surreal. And like, you know, when we started the podcast, that was really, it's the intention.
Right. And that's our mission statement.
Yeah. But to see it come to fruition is cool. And especially how many... I would easily say maybe 40% of the audience were not fans of soccer.
Yeah.
That's probably safe to say.
Yeah,
And they came up to us after. They were like, hey, I'm not a soccer fan, but this was it was great. It was like really fun.
Yeah. And there was that one lady yesterday. She's like, I don't even know anything about soccer. And I laughed throughout the whole show. Even when Daryl and Taylor are up.
Yeah.
And they're doing more of like a trivia thing. She was really into it.
Yeah.
She didn't know any of the answers, but it was a lot of fun to just see people get things right and wrong and the banter back and forth. And typically it's one of us on stage with them as well during at least one of those games. So there's such a great interaction.
Yeah. So look, if you haven't bought tickets, yeah, or maybe you bought a ticket just for yourself and you think, oh, maybe, you know, my friends who are not into soccer might not be into this. This is a very much a show that anybody can go to and laugh. We do jokes. We do our stand up and it's not all about soccer. There's a good balance. And it's been really fun having bridging those two worlds. But that's what gives me a sense of pride that people leave the show being like, I didn't come, but even my cousin who lives in Richmond, I hadn't seen
her.
Not
a soccer fan.
Not a soccer fan. And her and her husband, they were like, this was really fun. It was like, they were like actually having a really good time in that kind of experience. And the hope that maybe, I feel like comedy is for people who are not soccer fans, comedy could be the medicine in like in the Flintstone tablet.
With a gateway drug
into soccer, you know? It's like, oh, this is fun. This is like a funny thing. This is a funny a fun environment and a fun community that maybe I should start watching the sport. If we can get more soccer fans just because of our stand-up, Greatest thing in the world.
Yo, then we're changing American soccer forever.
So that's been seeing that happen has been really, really cool. So look, go to worldcupcomedytour.com. Get tickets if you have not. You're crazy if you haven't. The shows are so fun. Tickets are not expensive. And there's a couple cities left. We have Columbus, Cincinnati, Chicago, and Atlanta and Virginia Beach, as you're listening to this, we have already done this show.
We've already done Virginia Beach.
So we're recording before the Virginia Beach show. But a couple other reminders. Make sure you leave a review on iTunes. Please do that. You're helping us a lot. A bunch of new people left some really nice reviews. We appreciate it. Go to iTunes. As you're listening to this podcast, I know you don't want to leave a review. Nobody wants to do it. That's no fun. I just want to listen to Cooligans be stupid, talk about guns. But no, this is the only thing we ask of you. All you got to do is leave a review, even while you're listening to this. It's a piece of cake. 5 stars.
It's so simple. Just click on 5 stars and then write something nice.
Dude, somebody, even look, I'm going to read this review as we're in the TSS studio. So, I mean, this is when it's shots fired for real. Somebody just
mad wrote, infiltratious. infiltratious.
Somebody wrote, as a title, favorite soccer podcast, said, heard about these guys on TSS and now I'm obsessed. They're hilarious. I absolutely love how MLS centric it is. And I can't wait to see them in Chicago on their tour. Thank you, Catherine 801.
Pat.
We're doing this from the TSS studios.
Reading
kind reviews towards us. So thank you for having heard of us through their show. And I'm hoping some people listening here and hear about TSS, if you haven't listened to them, look, if you want a strong soccer show, very focused on the details of the game, because there's not many outlets for what they do.
No, they're breaking down the sport at a level no one else is doing.
Yes. So like in American soccer.
We both listen to their show. I mean, I think the fans should know that. We're both fans of TSS, and TSS are fans of us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit easier to listen to us because we only do one episode, not 38 a week. But we're fans of that. But we want to provide something. They're providing something no one else does, and we wanted to provide something else no one else does. And for us, we don't think there's enough comedy in soccer. We don't think that American soccer fans are being treated like everyone else. So that's why we do what we do.
Exactly.
And you know what? When there was no one breaking
down. We'll treat you good.
Oh, we treat you right. We'll be your daddy.
So
don't ever touch my gun.
That's the only rule I have.
When did a gun become a part of this entire episode?
I think
it's the only rule. You can do whatever you want. Just don't touch my gun.
So hey, you know, we need boundaries. So, all right. So look, we're on the World Cup Comedy Tour, and we were in, we talked about this about a month ago, 2 months ago. We were talking about trying to do something in the Cascadia region, and
we tried so hard.
We contacted teams.
Front offices, back offices,
okay.
Side offices, side pieces. Everybody.
We're reaching out to everybody. We're trying to make something out. And the closest we came to was Portland. We were really very close to getting something.
And by the way, it's not for a lack of. We did hear back from Seattle.
Yes.
Seattle has.
They had games scheduled.
Yeah, they had games, and there's certain rules that they have in place so their players can rest. So there was nothing that we could do on that weekend with Seattle. Vancouver, a little bit more difficult to get in touch with and mm-hmm. to plan some stuff out, but it seemed like that would be a bit more difficult, especially with, like, you know, passports involved and travel. So Portland seemed like the only one we could really do. We had 3.5 days to try to do 3 shows. You know, we knew we were reaching far.
Yeah.
And we knew that that would be difficult, but we said, let's just try, like, for the sense of
exactly.
trying.
Exactly. And we were close to doing something in Portland. It didn't work out because of the U.S. Open Cup game that got scheduled
right.
last week. It got scheduled on a Wednesday, and that kind of ruined the plans. And
right. and one of the players we wanted to be a part of it was busy protesting, trying to protect a statue. I'm sorry. It's an N-word joke. What? I just went too far. Why with it.
I don't even see the connection.
Somebody called Diamante N-word on.
We'll talk about that. But
it was a great bit.
Before we talk about the negative things that Portland
may or may not have happened.
We should talk about our trip in general, right?
Yeah.
So we did it. Even though we couldn't do a show, we still got to go to Portland. We got to hang out with Igor. tattoo artist for the Portland Timbers tattoo
Hang
artist.
Hang out. He let Timbers, us stay,
let
in,
us
his
stay
home.
At, in his home. So kind. Everyone in Portland.
Sweetheart of a daughter as well.
Yes.
Just a beautiful family.
Lovely, lovely family. So a huge shout. If you don't follow, if you're in Portland and you need a tattoo.
There's only one option.
There's only one option.
There's only one Cooligans approved tattoo artist in all of Portland.
Look, officially, we're putting the stamp of a tattoo of approval on Igor.
Yeah.
And he's a great, I mean, you can follow him on Instagram, on Twitter, at IgorMortis13. And just see his work. He's incredible. But not only is he a talented tattoo artist, he is just a upstanding human being.
Just one of the great ones.
So kind. Everyone in Portland was so cool to us.
It's like too nice of a city.
Yes. It was, yeah, I expected... I expected Williamsburg, Brooklyn, right? I thought that was going to be, you know, kind of hipster-ish or whatever. But I would say Portland is not really hipster, more than it's hippie, right?
It's a bit, you're 100% right. It's a bit more hippie.
Yeah, way more.
The scale slides more towards hippie.
Yes,
but also,
hipster.
Like, the way people in Brooklyn dress is the same way that they pretty much dress and act in Portland, except they actually live that life. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah, yo, Portland is about that life.
Yo, they about it, about it.
They about veganism, yes, vegetarians.
You look up on Yelp, every restaurant says vegan.
Yeah, yo.
They're like, trust me, we need to have at least one or two vegan options.
Yo, I think the Portland Timbers season ticket, like the season cards, were made out of hemp, I'm pretty sure.
Biodegradable.
Yeah. Is very much real.
Portland Timbers season ticket card is free range. It's very important for them.
Yes, organic, everything, right?
Everybody is mad chill. Like, it's just a very... Cars stop when you cross the street.
Yes. We're not... there's a lot of listeners that might be like, yeah, that's normal.
It's not normal.
We're from New York. That is not how it works at all.
We waited at a crosswalk that didn't have a stop sign or anything. There was no light, no nothing. And literally an entire sea of cars was coming. So you do what everyone else does. All right, I'll wait for these sea of cars.
Yeah.
And then we'll cross the street when there's an opening. And then all of a sudden they stop.
In New York, just keep in mind, it is Frogger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Getting crossing the street.
Don't nobody care about you. If you get hit, they'll be like, I don't know. The cops will ask me about it later. I got to get somewhere.
Yeah, pedestrians are a burden on this city.
100%. If we got rid of pedestrians, the city would move so much quicker. Stay underground in the subways.
You mole people.
Come on. Get yourself a goddamn car. But get out of our streets. And look, 8.5 million people versus how many people in Portland? Like 750,000, you know what I mean? It's very different.
Yeah, yeah.
So we waited at the crosswalk for the cars to pass, and they never did, but we were talking, and I realized at some point, these cars are going to go, right? Because that's what they're supposed to do. And everyone in the front, the front two cars are like, please walk. We're not allowed to go until you cross. We caused traffic because we didn't realize that the cars would wait for you.
Yeah, we caused about 8 seconds of traffic.
Oh, my God. But, you know, it multiplies as you go.
Oh, sure.
So, like, the fifth car, that was at least 32 seconds. And, by the way, they were so cool about it. They're like, oh, it's just 32 seconds.
Yeah, everything overall, I can I know, you know, our Seattle friends hate that we're talking about Portland so nicely. but they were incredibly kind to us and very welcoming. And shout out to Portland Timbers.
Portland Timbers front office.
Front office, social media, the social media.
Yo, Kayla Knapp.
Kayla Knapp. Happy birthday. Happy 30th birthday, Kayla Knapp.
No, happy birthday.
Birthday. We got to hang out with her, and we'll celebrate her birthday a little bit.
She is one of the great people in American soccer.
Yeah.
I am so happy she came over from Fox Sports.
It was cool to talk about, like, some of the ideas that and some of the things that Portland has done. Even, you know, the documentary about Seattle and that
rival. Stuff that's coming out.
Other stuff.
We pitched a couple things. She's like, no, our players are not going to be strapped during a game. I mean, just an option. You know,
okay,
we just pitch an idea.
It's just all right. We're brainstorming. Kayla.
No idea is a bad idea, Kayla. Put it on the board. Right next to where we wrote in permanent marker, all players be strapped.
But it was cool. Yeah. We got to hang out with Zarek Valentin.
Zarek Valentin. Oh, my God. I got to meet
Sam
Armenteros.
Samuel Armenteros, the Cuban.
Para patria. Oye, chico, ¿qué pasa, coño?
Sam Armenteros in the 2005 Eminem jacket. Yeah. Probably took it from Cameron.
Yo, for real. I was like, okay. Mason Betha. I was so funny because I would tell him, like, yo, you're Cuban. And he's like, see? And I'm like, yo, me too. I'm Cuban. He goes, well, I'm also half Swedish. I'm like, Yo, I'm Cuban. We ain't talking about that other half.
Yo, forget all that noise.
Yo, chop that tree in half, my guy. We're talking about Cuba. Yo, I'm half Uruguayan. We ain't talking about that right now. We're talking about Cuba.
Yeah,
it was just so. He was such a great guy, and we met with these guys. Were just hanging out for Kayla's birthday.
Yeah, and
it just came by to say hello.
Literally, Armenteros had scored against Montreal.
Yeah,
just like
showered up right
an hour
quick.
Before. Yeah. Showered up. He was like, "Yo, let me go hang out for Kayla's birthday."
It was Kayla's birthday.
That's dope. It's just like the team, the players.
The city itself.
Very connected to the community and to the players.
Yeah.
Really, really cool to see that. So
can we get some of the NYCFC front office down here to do a little bit of a seminar maybe? Huh?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That was wild to see. And they we got to go to the Van Laden, which is their their fan clubhouse, which is so dope.
A lot of history.
I actually thought about that. I don't think that could ever exist in New York.
Why? Because
they're very welcoming. You know, they're like, oh, come in. Let's like.
First of all, the rent you cannot afford.
No, I mean, if we did, it'd be an alleyway. Look, we painted this wall.
Dude,
it used to say NYCFC until the homeless started tagging over it, and then over here on this wall is our bathroom.
That's I mean, like, if there's any like memorabilia, they would just be in a cardboard box, or maybe
it'd be like deep in Queens or something.
Deep in Queens, it'll be like. A shopping cart. Like, yeah. Yo, who took the shopping cart with David Villa's boots?
That's the Hudson Derby trophy in there. Damn it, every time.
Yo, I told you, it stays here.
Don't move. Mangoes out of the trophy. This is not a real shopping cart. This is our Van Laden.
But it was cool. Another shout out to Sheba. I didn't even get her last name, but her Twitter account is @ShebaInPDX.
Yeah.
Sheba, well, how kind and warm and welcoming of a person. One of the coolest people I've ever met.
Started speaking Spanish like it was her native tongue. I don't know if she is.
Yeah.
I didn't ask. I don't know what.
I didn't want to buy. I was like, hey, look. I don't want to cross the line.
What nationality do you identify as? Because we support all. But yeah, she just started. She started speaking Spanish. And then you were like, whoa, I'm Espanol. And she's like, sí, cómo no. And I forgot, she asked like, this player is Argentinian.
Yeah, she was reading the autographs and the notes that like Diego Valeri left, Rodney Wallace.
Blanco.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she started reading it in all of their dialects.
Yeah, yeah.
She like read Valeri's in an Argentinian dialect. I was like, what is she doing?
What's going on? Yeah. So cool.
Yo, Portland.
I mean, again, I know we have Seattle friends. We love you, too.
We love Seattle. We tried real hard.
This is what they look. They got back to us, and it worked out.
They said no.
No, they did not say no. I just want to be clear.
Seattle said no.
So the main thing, in general, I know a lot of people have been asking, like, oh, how come the World Cup Comedy Tour didn't come to Seattle or
the West Coast?
Or the West Coast in general. Look, this is—
Or even New York, if we're going to be honest.
Yes, this is very much a lot of people, being honest, let's like peel back the curtain.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not, we mentioned this idea to them, to either some comedy club or other venues, not interested. And now they're missing out. I mean, a lot of these shows, very well attended. We're having a very, very good time. These comedy clubs are making a little bit of money.
Yeah. Then they didn't want me. Then, now I'm hot. They all on me.
You know.
And that's what's going to happen next year.
Well, Mike Jones. Mike Jones. Yeah.
Who? Mike Jones.
You know. So, look, I think this is very much, if this tour goes well, people showing up, this could be a thing that grows. And we do it in more cities. So
we want it. Look, there's one way to do this. And I know some of you guys did this when we started the podcast. We said, we want to come to your city, call your comedy club, mention the Cooligans, and that would help. And a couple of people did. And we actually heard back from a few comedy clubs, actually.
Yeah.
Here's the truth, though. If you reach out to the comedy clubs and say, hey, these guys did this in 9 cities and it destroyed, and it was mostly at Funny Bones, call your local comedy club and say, you guys got to bring these guys in.
Yeah.
We're doing a couple improvs. We're doing a couple laugh factories. This is going to be big. This is going to be massive.
Yeah. So a lot to look forward to. But thank you again, Portland. It's so fun, man. Just I can't. Like, we had to – we wanted to stay a little bit longer, but we couldn't. The one thing we left hearing from everybody, they were like, you guys got to come back. You guys got to come back. So that's exactly what we're going to do.
The first thing we heard was, hey, we had no idea what this was. But we're going to call our friends in the next city and tell them they actually got to go to this thing. Like Omaha, one of the guys from AO came and he was like, wow, this is dope.
It's crazy.
I don't think people have ever, no one knew, comedy club owners didn't know, fans didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I think fans were like, whatever, we'll get to meet the Cooligans, we'll get to meet
I even TFS. Asked in Kansas City, I just straight up asked the audience, like, how many people heard World Cup Comedy Tour, but you heard about a comedy soccer show, and were like, this is probably a trap. And then, like, half the audience clapped.
More than half. It was, like, a significant part of the audience.
They're like, okay, well, now it's an insult.
I don't know why you felt so comfortable clapping just now.
But look,
say it to my face.
Look, I people hear us on this show, and they may not have seen our stand-up or heard our stand-up. And we're a legitimate stand-up comedian. I don't know how to
There's no way to say it without sounding like really cocky.
I don't know how to convey that to you, but we've been doing stand-up a long time, and we have a lot of jokes that are not about soccer.
Yeah.
And we're competent.
We're very competent, funny men. So come to the show. So you're going to laugh.
That's it, man. That's its only purpose. Like, laugh and get to, like, you know, spread the joy of the game, man. That's all it's about. So let's talk about some of the negatives that came out of Portland. So last week while we got there, we're hanging out in Portland, but obviously
on the way in
there was a bit of controversy. There was smoke. There was smoke over Portland.
Yeah, a little dark cloud.
A little dark cloud, and it wasn't the loons.
No,
you know?
It was not.
So and if you hadn't heard about it, the U.S. Open Cup game with Portland went to Los Angeles at Bank of California Stadium and play against LAFC. They ended up losing that game, I believe, 3-2, if I'm not mistaken. But in that loss, there really a couple issues, right? And I'll talk about the minor one first and then the major one second. First one, the U.S. Open Cup rules that specifically say that every team is allowed, I believe it's five or six?
It's less international slots than you can have in an MLS game.
Correct. So it's about, I think it's six players that are allowed to be non-American, but international players that do not have a green card.
Right. And because MLS allows Canadians to be domestic players.
Yes. Which is a rule, which is new. That it is a rule that
like
two years old, where Canadian players, this was the disadvantage of the Canadian player because they took up an international roster spot on an MLS team. Right. So because of that, teams were probably less inclined to sign Canadian players because probably the quality wasn't as high as somebody from a different country.
And if we're being honest, it's also a reaction to the Canadian Premier League starting. So it's a great way to hinder Canadian teams from being able to sign their own players.
Okay, right. Who knows about? I don't know. Yeah. Look, it's none of my business.
I don't know. That's what the gun told me. That's what I'm holding. It whispered it in my ear. click. Oh, thank you, Gunny.
So that's basically the rule, right? In the U.S. Open Cup, you're not allowed to have more than, I believe, five or six international players. Now, the issue with Marc-Anthony Kay, who plays for LAFC, he's been great, strong midfielder.
Also the name of an interior designer. Okay. Ooh, looks great in here. Oh, yeah, Marc-Anthony Kay. Ooh, you can afford Marc-Anthony Kay. Yeah, he's Canadian.
Fancy. Okay, cool. I mean, the branding's already there. So, I don't think he knew.
No.
Let's start a new company.
He's like, oh, I can't play this game? That's cool. I got a mansion. I got an outfit.
So in that game, he was a particular player. He's Canadian. He played in that game. According to the U.S. Open Cup rules, LAFC had too many international players. But LAFC, after this was reported, because Portland did make a protest and say, and in this scenario, what should happen is that the result would be like vacated and Portland would move on. This has happened for not MLS clubs, but it's happened to lower league teams that have been in this scenario.
Right.
And if basically this is why people are kind of upset, because when it's happened to smaller teams, not MLS teams,
they get docked.
They get penalized.
Yeah.
For it. But LAFC did not. But the reason they did not, and this is what everyone's sort of agreeing to, Portland also removed their protest. They did. LAFC did submit the roster, and it was approved by U.S. Soccer.
It was mistakenly approved. So U.S. Soccer said, all right, that's our bad.
Yeah.
We didn't see it.
Which is crazy. I mean, what intern is going over these rosters to make sure?
I think what we really need to do is we need to force Canadians to change their names into something that sounds Canadian, so we know. Marc-Anthony Kay just blends in.
If it was Marc-Anthony Canadian, then it would.
Oh my God.
Okay, wait, though. I think this guy might be Canadian.
Yeah, so your name is Maple Leaf Anthony Kay? Well, All right.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna check this one.
Yeah. I need to see your passport.
Let me see your papers, Mark Anthony Gay.
Let me see your papers.
That's U.S. soccer all of a sudden.
ICE is involved in U.S. soccer.
Okay. So it's weird because they acknowledge the mistake. And they basically, they didn't apologize. They were just like, oh, my bad. Like, yeah. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
and that was it.
Didn't catch that.
Yeah, we did fuck up. All right.
And it's a bummer, but look, Portland lost. They lost. There's not.
No, and they pulled the protest away.
Yeah, they put it like they're not gonna move on in that way. They lost to an MLS team. They just had look. You don't want to win. It would feel weird to been awarded the win under those circumstances. But if it was an MLS game, they lost fair and square. But because it's an Open Cup game, then it feels like they cheated. So I understand why Portland Timbers fans would be upset.
But it's also like if it would have worked, that's a great way to move forward. So be like, oh, we did lose, but yo, those guys have an illegal player. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Are you go ahead.
Honestly, in reality, if we're going by the rules, that's what should have happened.
It should have. They were both right.
U.S. soccer messed up.
Yeah, it's U.S. soccer's fault.
LAFC did submit the roster, but still, LAFC should have. They should have known. I mean, look, I think because
they should say like he's not allowed to play moving forward.
They maybe. Yeah, I don't think they did that.
No.
Yeah.
They just said, no, we fucked up.
They just said, like, oh, my bad. And then they sort of move on. So, but it is LAFC. Maybe you understand a little bit. They're an expansion team. Maybe it's like, that's the thing. A lot of these new teams, it's new people. Why would they know the rules?
They don't know the rules. They just got here.
They're like, I submit my roster. Okay, cool. They think it's exactly the way MLS works. And then they realize, oh, okay, no, it's not bad. But there should, that the oversight, it's for U.S. soccer and Open Cup to be like, oh, no, this is incorrect. This player is not allowed to play. You can't field this player. So, but the fact that they made the mistake, it sucks for Portland. Because I know, look, if they would have had an extra international slot, I mean, they have a lot of international players. It would have been nice to field.
They would have loved to have an extra. So, throw another Cuban in there.
would have been nice.
Bam, 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 bam.
You know, admittedly, I haven't been watching U.S. Open Cup for years and years.
No.
But when you see these rules and you see a team like NYCFC and you see that their roster is very international. And then when they play in the U.S. Open Cup games, it's like, oh, yeah, who are these dudes?
Yeah, why are these guys starting?
What is this? Who's Smith?
Yeah, who's Chad? You got a motherfucker named Chad out there?
I don't even know these guys. Where did he get
him from? Winning with no Chad.
Okay, so it is you understand why Portland would be upset, but, you know, this is where we are. Like, and look, U.S. soccer, this is going to happen. A lot of these dumb mistakes, well, we got to sort of move on. And
hire someone to read the rosters. To just throw it on the desk of an intern.
Just a suggestion, but, you know, don't listen to us. But the second thing, the bigger thing that happened in Portland.
And really unfortunate. All jokes aside, we are going to probably joke about it.
Yeah, without
we just need to start that now, saying we're not cool with what happened.
Yes.
If it did. I don't know. He's saying, I hope it didn't.
There's no reason to not believe Adama Diomande. Adama Diomande, after the game, he posted on Instagram saying that he... First time he was called the N-word on the field.
This is completely unlike anything you'd expect from an MLS team.
Definitely not Portland.
Especially Portland, yeah.
We were in Portland.
Those fans ain't about that.
They didn't want to say black, you know?
No.
They didn't want to say that word.
No, they're like, they whisper it. Like, yeah, Diamante's black.
I feel like the whisper seems worse. Don't whisper, just say
it. Should we leave the fan out?
No, man. But it, like, in general, you don't expect this from a very PC, everyone's very conscious.
But there's no team. It's not like, well, we don't allow teams from Kentucky in the league yet. But there's no team where I'm like, yeah, that probably happened.
Yeah.
Not in MLS. I don't see that. This is a very progressive league.
Mm-hmm.
The players, if they are not, maybe they hide it. But for the most part, this seems like a very welcoming league. A player just came out in Minnesota and was applauded by the majority of the league.
Yeah.
This is something that I don't think, obviously it shouldn't happen anywhere, but the last place I expected to is MLS. Now, that said, I look at the Portland Timbers and I say, no one's been removed from the team. The fans are sort of anxiously waiting to see what happens. The rumor is that another black player said it to him.
Yeah, so this is, I don't think many people have talked about it, but this is the, we were in Portland. We were like, I felt like we were there to be like, yo, who was it?
We got to the bottom of this.
Who was it?
This is why we brought the guns. We need to find out who this is.
Point them out to me.
Just say a name. Say any name.
Okay.
Chad, I saw that dude once.
We will do no more. We will not look for any more evidence, and we will take your word as gospel.
Yeah. We shoot first, and then forget to ask questions later.
Because we'll be flying, because we got other dates on the World Cup Comedy Tour.
Hell yeah, son. Come see our show after we shoot this motherfucker.
So look, we did hear that.
We asked a lot of people. Front office people. No, we didn't bring it up at Kayla's birthday. Happy birthday. So who said the N-word?
We did ask, and we were curious. And the rumor.
The fans are. Let's start by saying the fans are furious.
Furious, yeah. Nobody's
happy with it. No one.
Nobody is defending any of this. But the rumor is, and we don't know who said it, and we're not even going to speculate.
Yeah.
All we heard, I was just like, yo, my man's told me.
yo, word on the block is
that
streets is talking.
We heard that another black player said it to Diomande.
Right.
So now that definitely skews how we feel about all
so
this.
So my question is, the word before, was it you or my? Because
yes.
It's important.
It was very important.
That's okay. We heard that word is bad. What did he say just before it? Was it you or mine?
Based on Diomande's response, I'm going to assume it was you, right?
No, actually, he's from Norway.
He is.
And I don't think I'm no way, shape, or form making excuses for this, but maybe that's not a common friendship word the way it's used here amongst us when we're not on microphones. Because, we're Latino, we get a pass. Or, just black people in general here may use that word. I don't know. Maybe they do use it that way in Norway. I'm saying I don't know, right?
Yeah.
I'm asking the gun. It's not answering. Right?
Well, why are you so quiet now, gun?
Oh, gun, I'm so quiet. You dropping mad just shade across the board, gun. Click, click, nothing? Maybe I need to change the clip. I don't know how this works. But maybe that's not used. So maybe like, yo, come on. And then maybe that word was used. And then maybe.
Totally.
He was blown back by it.
I have no problem with Diomande having a problem.
No, not at all.
Totally. It doesn't matter who said it. But
whether it was used in friendship or not, you have the right to be aghast.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't even know if that's a word.
It is a word. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Proud of you.
My brain hurts.
Well, this TSS Studios is making it real smart.
Oh, my God. What's in the air here? It's all biscuit.
I have no problem with Diomande being called. I remember when I was a kid and I the word was just disgusting to me, and I remember being called it and crying, and it was I get it. So I didn't really grow up in a place where that was like it wasn't used the I like
you
it wasn't
grew up in Sunset
I
Park.
Grew up in Sunset, but it wasn't used like it wasn't in my community. I grew up with a lot of other Dominican kids. Like it just wasn't that.
Those are the ones who say it the most. Would you not take the train with the Dominican kids?
There's a difference between like Dominican kids that are like from DR, like who Spanish is their first language.
Yeah, they don't use that word. Really, that's not a common word. It might be more now that like reggaeton and all that.
Very much so.
But our generation, the Latino kids, the real, like the off of boat kids, did not fear of using that word.
I grew up around it a little bit, but not enough to comfortably use it everywhere.
Oh, I was egregious with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I have no, so I, like.
But I grew up in Newark. It was a very common word in Newark.
Yeah, so look, but for me, being called it was not comforting or cool. It wasn't like the worst thing in the world necessarily. Like the older I got, I sort of understood its context.
Right.
But so I would never have any problem with a black person saying, hey, don't call me that. I don't want to be called that.
No,
regardless of who it's from.
I have a different experience with that word.
Yeah.
And to me, it was something that we used amongst friends. It was something that we commonly used. We wouldn't say it like with adults in the room.
Sure.
Like whether it was like black friends, Puerto Rican friends, Dominican friends, Cuban friends.
Parents don't just don't understand that word.
Although some of my Jamaican friends, that would be used like amongst the uncles and stuff. So like when you're hanging out at the house, it was common. Like we all used it. It was not an issue. If someone came to me, you had a different experience and you say you understand. If someone came to me, black, white, doesn't matter, and said they were offended by that word, I would completely understand. Everyone has the right to be offended by that word because it is a jarring word to hear sometimes.
Yes.
If you come from a culture that doesn't use that word and you get it said to you, how would you explain, no, I meant that in a good way?
Yeah. Sometimes people would not understand just that American culture is a little different. But the thing, even though with that said and knowing that it's a negative thing and everybody, it's their right to decide whether they're comfortable with it or not.
Sure.
But even with that said, I felt different towards the story. This rumor of that maybe a black player said it to Diomande,
right,
changed how I felt about how upset Diomande should be.
Sure.
You know, because part of me, and totally hypocritical, maybe not even fair, but it did skew it a little bit.
No, because here's what happened. You hear Diomande said someone called me the N-word. You're like, how could someone do that?
And
it was a black player. You turn back around like, damn, Diomande, what the fuck with you?
That's exactly how
Well, you being a bitch about that. Damn, some way you don't want him to be your friend? It's legitimately the...
Totally unfair.
Victim shaming immediately.
But I think as Americans, we're very conditioned to even to have that reaction to begin with. But it was a real response.
Immediately.
I had to loop around. I'm like, at first I was just like, yo, Diomande, what's your deal? And then I'm like, oh, wait, it's not okay to say that.
It's like your friend's like, yo, I got mugged. You're like, oh, my God, why would they do that to you? He's like, I don't know, I was just walking through Brownsville. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you do that? It was that.
Yes, yes.
Now, it's your fault.
Yo, what was Adama Diomande wearing? Huh?
Yeah. Was he baggy jeans or something?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You were asking for it, you know?
So it's crazy.
It's crazy that that's the reaction, but I understand it's culturally.
So this is the thing that's interesting. And we don't know who said it, and it hasn't been revealed. I think there's an investigation going on. But I think the fact that this hasn't been sorted out already, it's already been about a week, right?
Yeah.
The fact that it hasn't really been sorted out already
tells me it's a sticky situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think
players are reaching out. I'm sure that player has reached out to Diomande.
Or MLS is like, well, I don't know how to get it. It's like, is it two black guys?
Wait a minute.
Do we have a say in this?
Wait a minute. Is a league that is run by 99.9% old white guys unsure how to handle this? Wow.
Yeah, a little strange, huh?
Wow. Huh? What does Charlie Davis get called for all these things?
So.
They're like, Kalen Carr, get in there. You're dark. I don't know what the hell to do. Get in there.
You figure it out.
You'll call them both the worst.
Oh, my goodness. So, look, we're trying to have fun with it. It is serious, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But it's not just about black people or white people or whatever. It's cultural, it's societal, and it's all of us trying to, navigate through that and figure out how international players – it's not even about adapting. I'm not going to say that he should adapt.
There is some understanding to the culture you're walking into. We would do that if we went elsewhere.
Yeah.
And to some degree, that kind of needs to be done here. But it's also a sense of when these things come up and they get – the way this has become sort of a public issue now, this needs to be addressed publicly.
Yeah.
You can't leave this dangling.
Yeah.
For the fans of LAFC and the fans of Portland Timbers that also want this resolved. This – if you're the league, you can't – waited out on this.
Yeah.
This is not going away.
It's weird that there hasn't really been something finalized about all of this. And yeah, it's strange. It should be there should be that clarity. There should be, if it was a player said it, then apologize for saying it.
Maybe there needs to be like a small conference between the player that said it and the other player or Diomande and just saying like, hey, I said it out of something that we normally say to each other, blah, blah, blah. Like,
Don Garber's the mediator. He's just like, okay, boys. All right, you guys, you come together.
Don Garber's like, what is up, Mike? And we're like, no.
No, that's not where we do this.
No. And take that backwards hat off, Garber.
Oh, my goodness. So, So hopefully that's sorted out soon, sooner rather than later. The other thing that was also strange was the Rising Sun flag that was brought to the U.S. Open Cup.
Somebody even commented on one of our Instagram photos on Twitter about it.
So
they've been using this flag forever. It's actually the painting on the doorway to the locker rooms from the field has this sort of sun-like image on it.
Yeah, with rays, a circle and a bunch of rays coming out of it.
Right.
And apparently, I didn't even know this. This was a flag from the
when the U.S. won the war, they took the rays off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so now it's just a red dot in the middle.
Correct. So
but there used to be
in World War II, the you know the axis of evil and all this
stuff. Kamikazes and whatnot.
Yeah. So they had
when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. Leave him alone. He's on a roll. Anyway, it's a movie quote.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. Was that a joke? Because the Germans didn't bomb Pearl.
That
Harbor.
Is the joke.
Okay. Cool. I just want to make sure.
The guy was like, "And when the bomb is when the Germans bomb the Civil War, the Pearl Harbor," and they go to stop him, and the guy just elbows him and goes, "Leave him. He's on a roll." He was like very inspirational.
So the, I mean, that flag was seen regularly with the Nazi flag, and you know, this obviously. Not.
But I think it was the Korean community in Los Angeles that was offended by it.
Yes, so people had an issue with it, but this was, I guess, this was.
They've had this flag for a long time. I'm not telling all of a sudden you guys need to calm down. I'm not saying that. I can understand if you're offended. I highly doubt it was done specifically.
Yeah.
But if you're saying that imagery is negative to you, the same way like if someone has a swastika, it's like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a swastika.
No. It's a bunch of sevens. You know, like you have the right to be offended. So to be honest, Portland
it's just like finds themselves. Bad week for Portland, man.
They find themselves in the middle of two controversies that they're like, no. This is really anti what we do here.
Look, and I'll say when it comes to being conscious of, you know, definitely like, the community and other people's feelings. Portland seems, I mean, they're definitely on top of that. This seems like a, I don't even want to say an oversight, because even I didn't recognize the flag. I had to be shown it, and then I was
really?
Yeah, I didn't know about
I knew it as soon as I saw it, but I had no idea that people viewed that flag negatively.
Okay. I didn't know anything about it. So I think
I've actually always loved that flag just for the design of it.
Yeah, you got the tattoo on your back.
Yeah. And it says fuck Korea. So, which I gotta say now. No,
man.
I don't have a tattoo. But and it's not, and also I never said fuck. But that flag I've always thought was a cool looking flag.
Sure.
I never thought of it as a negative, even though they were on the other side of World War II, just because they don't use that flag anymore.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like one of those symbols that
to me it wasn't made, but it is the imperialist. I mean, Japan. Jesus.
So I guess it's, you know, get rid of the flag. I mean, I don't know exactly. I didn't see it at the game.
They waved it. That had the confetti on it.
Oh, I didn't see it. I saw yellow and green rays, but not the circle.
Yeah, no, it was there.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I think they added a rose to the center of it.
Okay.
But it was the TIFO. They've been waving that TIFO every time they score for years.
All right.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
It's like it was one.
What does Diamante think we should do? You know, I mean, at this point,
tell us what to do, man.
Diamante, you're the head of
Portland Affairs. Please let us know how to handle this stuff. So, weird week. Look, but again, we had a great time there. Everyone's very kind. I think, and
shouts to Portland.
And more than anything, I don't think it's a thing that people are. You know, when a lot of these issues come up, people tend to kind of shy away from them and be, you know, kind of change the subject or it's not a big deal. I'll say very honestly, Portland, the Timbers fans were very, it's very important to them that this stuff gets sorted out.
And they were asking us, did you hear about the flag thing?
Yeah,
did you hear about what happened with Diamante?
They're
literally on top of it. They don't want that to happen there.
Yeah, so. And they don't want to be associated with anything like negative like that. I think, you know, I think the front office.
I will say this. Neither one of these things happened in Seattle. Am I right, Sounders fans? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's Kale doing? Still listening? Huh? We're CJ. Yeah, baby.
Chopping Sounders still showing love.
Yeah. Chopping Sounders, cool. I'm in another one.
So hopefully that stuff gets sorted out. So
look, we're going to move on to our next segment, but. Guys, Alphonso Davies just got sold to Bayern. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what? Some of this, there's a couple things we didn't get, so I'll talk to them with Taylor.
Oh, come on.
So you're going to miss out.
I'm going to have to drag.
Again, so.
I'm going to drag Daryl down into the to the mud.
So Taylor Rockwell will be joining the Cooligans podcast, and he will be the, I guess, the less fat Alexis. Is that the.
Right to my face while I'm holding this gun.
How dare you?
You've seen it so much, you've lost respect for it. I got to get a bigger gun.
So Taylor Rockwell will be joining the Cooligans podcast in the next segment. So thank you, Alexis. We won't get. I'm going to have Taylor do the outro, you know, that we normally do.
Oh.
So you're going to miss out. Do a fun outro with Daryl on Total Soccer Show. So we'll be right back after this. Hey guys, this is Christian breaking in real quick before we get to our segment with
the replacement Alexis Taylor Rockwell. I just want to leave a quick message from our sponsors, On the Volley Apparel, who is sponsoring this show, today's show, and also the World Cup Comedy Tour. They are making all the apparel for the show, the World Cup Comedy Tour t-shirt that you can pick up at our shows. After the show, you can pick one up, just buy one. They're great. They're very comfortable. They have all they're like a rock band who's on tour. They have all the tour dates. I feel great. I feel like I should have more groupies than I have instead of a bunch of soccer nerds talking to me after the show, but I'll take what I can get. But On the Volley Apparel, go to onthevolleyapparel.com. They've made a bunch of Cooligan shirts. They have a bunch of dope gear. And make sure if you use the promo code Cooligans at onthevolleyapparel.com, you'll get 20% off your entire order. And they make dope gear. It's streetwear for the soccer fan. It's very much that, and it looks fly. So get laced. Look good, everybody. You like soccer. You like the streets. You all about them streets. Don't listen to anybody who tells you, yeah, you might live in Richmond, Virginia, right? But you all about that life. You all about them streets. So go to onthevolleyapparel.com. Use the promo code Cooligans, and you will receive 20% off your entire order. All right, we're back. So this is hella exciting, right? We mentioned it at the top of the show. Alexis Guerreros has been replaced. We are in TSS Tower. So no, obviously the right thing to do is to bring someone from TSS right in this show. So this is the first time we've had a Cooligans co-host that wasn't Alexis or I. So
wow. I'm honored.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Am I throwing off the rhythm? Do you feel okay so far?
I feel very uncomfortable. I want to make that clear right up top. This is super weird. All right, you're just not as fat. That's the thing that makes me uncomfortable.
Good way to talk like that. More New York.
Yeah. Well, how does Alexis sound to you?
I mean, only bits and pieces does it stand out. Only like the other night when he ordered coffee, and I was like, "Whoa, there it is, there it is." I mean, other than that, he just sounds like he's particular about food. That's
okay,
all.
Yeah, that's I'm particular is I mean, putting it lightly, right? I would say obsessive, fetishizing. I mean, I think it's a little bit. It's more of a condition. I mean, if there was a condition that was like labeled by like the American like doctors, and I think that he could be a clear example of of a symptom.
I think that's been one of my favorite things is how like Daryl and I are very interested in making sure like we want to show Alexis some food spots around Richmond, around Virginia, and like as soon as we go into one, Christian like just goes off and does something. He's like, oh, we're gonna be here for 2 hours. He's gonna ask a whole bunch of questions. I don't really care. I'm just gonna go do my own thing.
Yeah. So there is like a little bit of like when you introduce Alexis to a any kind of food spot, you're like, oh boy, this is gonna be. If he doesn't like this, then I think our friendship is gonna be over.
We're a little nervous.
Which is understandable. That's why I do not suggest any food spots to him. I suggest different gyms and health food places. And
I'm sure he's very receptive to that.
Totally receptive. So look, yeah, Taylor is going to, we mentioned that at the top of the show, Taylor is going to be, he is on the Cooligans podcast. This is not the Total Soccer Show. Alexis Guerreros will be on the Total Soccer Show with Daryl, which I think we're both excited to hear.
I'm pretty excited to see how Daryl handles that one. Yeah, I did make Alexis get out of my chair. He was sitting in my chair when I walked in.
Okay.
He's no longer sitting in my chair, but he'll be sitting here when he talks to Daryl, and I'm just... Like Daryl already has to deal with me, and that's how I'm going to put it. I'm curious to see how he handles Alexis.
He is, Daryl is going to be a mess when he is done recording that show. I think he's going to get actual PTSD after.
I mean, it's a possibility.
I think the P in PTSD will not be podcast. All right, we were going to realize that. So this is, so it's exciting. Yeah. So Taylor has been with us. Taylor and Daryl have been with us on the tour. How's the tour going so far?
I think good. It's been good. It's been lovely to watch y'all work because we're learning how to do it from you all.
Sure.
But then you all are providing good examples of how to do it. You've gotten big laughs, good crowds. Everybody's been into it, and I did enjoy like a lot of the texts we got last night because we performed in Richmond last night, our hometown, and I got a lot of texts of like, "Congrats, show was good. Those guys are amazing." And it was a lot of like, "Those guys are awesome. Cooligans are great. Alexis and Christian are wonderful." And I was like, "That's cool. Fine, whatever, Richmond."
Yeah. No, but you guys have totally been holding your own. I mean, seriously, I've been laughing a lot, and I think before we started the tour, I think you guys were admittedly kind of nervous. You didn't know how you guys would fit in or even get laughs or how that would all work. But you guys, you guys.
guys been doing this Total Soccer Show for a long time, yeah, that you guys are performers. You just are not in front of people all the time.
I mean, that was, I think, I can't remember if it was you or Alexis the other day when I was like, trying to explain how, like, it was really weird. It's this weird, like, juxtaposition of doing the podcast but then doing a live show. And I think Alexis was like, yeah, man, you talking to microphones and put into people's ears, it's very different to be in front of people. And I did picture us going up on stage and it would be like, laughter, laughter, laughter. And then we walk out. It's absolute
death.
It's like,
yeah. What is this funeral?
Yeah, exactly. Why do they keep talking about Wikipedia and playing trivia games?
But it's been fun. And we've been telling people, get tickets, because whether you're a soccer fan or not, you're going to enjoy the show. And these guys are very entertaining. So let's get to the goddamn show. Let's talk about some stuff. So, I was going to mention this to Alec. We didn't have time to even get to this, a couple of these subjects. But Dax McCarty, mm-hmm, who you know, we have a real bond with, right?
Oh, yeah?
You know,
you guys are besties?
You're besties. I mean, look, there's not many. Did Total Soccer Show send him a wedding gift? No, I don't think so.
I mean, now I'm hesitant to say on air. No, we did not. No, we did not, man. What did y'all send him?
We sent him a fruit bowl.
Did you really?
We sent him a fruit bowl, right? And that was there's a whole narrative, there's a whole plot, a big story, right? We said we were on
Alexis
the
sent someone fruit.
Not fruit, but a fruit bowl.
Okay.
A place to put fruit. Or you can put, you know,
the bowl was made out of Skittles.
it is a bowl where you can put meats and cheeses in it if you wanted to. Right. But it is meant for fruit. So we did send Dax McCarty and his wife after they got married, right after they got he got traded, mm-hmm, from the Red Bulls to Chicago Fire. So we have a big connection. But Dax McCarty is in the news again.
Yeah.
Mainly because there are more trade rumors, and there's a possibility we're going to have to send another fruit bowl, right?
That's what I was wondering. Do you expect him to pack the fruit bowl and take it with him he goes?
Well, he better, okay? Him and his wife, I mean, somebody better be responsible enough to not forget the most important thing that was sent to them for their wedding, right? Which I know we sorted out the scenario. Uh-huh. We sorted it all out because we did go to the All-Star game and did confront Dax and said, hey, what happened to that thank you?
Yeah, there was no thank you note.
There was no thank you note, but he did thank us in person.
Civilization's going out the window. Not even writing thank you notes. I don't know what to expect anymore.
All right, so look, this is on a different podcast, all right? On Pod Save America, we'll talk about that. But on this one, we have to move forward. But Dax McCarty, the rumor is that Minnesota United, who is kind of a little bit in need of somebody in the midfield that knows how to play soccer, mm-hmm, that would be really helpful. But there are rumors that Minnesota United are interested in trading for Dax McCarty, which and the Chicago Fire did spend a lot of money, Tam and Gam, to get him there. So I think in general, I don't know, how do you feel about that move to begin with? Because I think, I'll say this, in Chicago, I don't know how many Fire games you watch, mm-hmm, but I think Dax is an important player. He is a veteran, mm-hmm, and he knows he makes that midfield a bit more cohesive, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it would be a bigger loss to Chicago than it would be a gain for Minnesota.
I mean, that's why I'm kind of surprised by it all. Because, like, to your question, I can't claim to have that much familiarity with Chicago.
Yeah.
We watch them at the beginning of the season. We do the MLS thing where we watch the beginning of the season, then, like, World Cup or whatever major tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of pay attention, like, right around the transfer deadline. Then we pick back up maybe a month before the playoffs start.
Okay.
That said, I mean, yeah, to your point, like, I kind of expected Dax McCarty to basically finish his career in Chicago. It seemed like that's how it was going to be, and instead he just keeps moving further west.
Yeah, I mean, all of my concerns are fruit bowl based, and not really soccer based. I'm really trying to monitor the transfer rumors of this fruit bowl, right? I don't know. There is that concern. Obviously, I'm just joking around, but when he got traded after, mm-hmm, he left the Red Bulls, and when he found out about the trade like a day after his wedding.
Yep.
That emotionally hurts for any family, mm-hmm, right? You're trying to start a life together, and then you learn that you have to move. I'm just worried about the McCarty family having to make another move in just a short amount of time. I don't know.
Do you think his wife goes with him? That was my question. It's like, do they keep the house or apartment or whatever it is?
You know what? That's
in Chicago.
The weird thing is that I don't know. I don't remember exactly what she does for a living. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird thing to be talking about. A player's wife, what they do for a living.
I mean, you sent him a fruit bowl.
But we're part of the family now.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's like second cousins.
So, but I think she definitely set like some roots down, presuming, like you said, like they would be in Chicago for a long time. But there is that. I don't know if this is a thing where he look, MLS players, they don't have the luxury of being like, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
That, which is different than a lot of other leagues. Yep. And a lot of people, you know, they don't really like that. That's the case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it would seem like the move emotionally. I know I get it's business and all that stuff, but it seems like for the player, how could you not hate, not even hate the team, that like initially, like it's like the Red Bull's fault for trading you, and then how could you almost hate the league, you almost hate the sport, the fact that it would force you to move in such a short amount of time.
I mean, especially given the way it went with the Red Bulls. I know you've got like no particular love for the Red Bulls, I'm with you though, again, and like having what I just said about Chicago, where I thought that's where he'd see out his career, I thought the same thing of the Red Bulls. I'm sure he did too. So I think and I guess DC before that, right up until he was traded for D-Rose. So I guess maybe that's the nature of the beast is what we come to learn with a player like Dax McCarty, is as you reach that age, maybe that willingness to be traded increases if it means playing time.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, I thought the Cooligans podcast would never have a replacement host.
There we go.
And here we go. Like, we're all getting older. So, you know, like that contract might not be renewed, Alexis.
I feel like I got to yell a little bit more and be a little bit riffier if I'm gonna make it work.
Oh, no. You're doing great.
All right.
You're doing great. Don't judge yourself. It's only been 9 minutes. You're doing great. So another move that was, I think basically confirmed, but we haven't heard, I think, directly from the club. But this player did not play in their last game, kind of suggesting. So Alfonso Davies, probably, I think, the fastest man in MLS.
I mean, maybe the world.
Maybe the world.
Put him up against Usain Bolt. We'll see what happens.
Or Mbappe.
Oh, that too.
Davies.
I'm going to walk this one back real fast.
Well, Usain Bolt is also a soccer player.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Very much a footballer. Who is considering signing him? I just saw.
Was it LA? Or, no, Las Vegas? Was Las Vegas looking
for
him?
Las Vegas.
LA, Las Vegas, very different.
Las Vegas Lights with Usain Bolt.
And Freddie Adu.
Oh, my goodness.
The most surreal team in history.
I don't know
how you make that team weirder.
And with a coach that is suspended every game, he refuses to be reasonable on the sideline.
Like, I'm really trying to think, like, maybe you get Eric Winalda as a general manager. I don't know how else you could make that team
a little bit more dramatic. Eric Winalda did announce that he's not returning to Fox Sports.
I saw that, yeah.
So he's...
there we go, Las Vegas.
It's all working. Serendipitous. It's working out.
Get Eric Winalda as the GM and John Harkes as the coach. We'll see how that goes.
Ooh. I love this soap opera.
Yeah, exactly. We're just trying to, you know, put the attention on Las Vegas. Why not?
But Alfonso Davies looks like he is being transferred to Bayern Munich.
Right.
A little club out there in Germany.
You're real small.
Real small. I'm excited. I think a lot of people are excited for him. I think in MLS, there's a reason to be proud. I think, what is he, 18 years old?
I think he is 9.5.
And also 9.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's a very young and giant boy. There's no way somebody didn't lie on his birth certificate. Something's wrong. Kids are not that big. What?
Yeah. I mean, it always makes me feel a little bit like, I just look back on my high school self. I'm like, what are you doing? What were you doing with yourself? Like, this kid's going to Bayern Munich. He's going to play for the national team.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So he is, people in MLS should be proud. People in Canada should be proud.
Yeah.
And it looks like the move should happen maybe by the time this episode is out. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's weird is that everyone's asking, is he going to play? Is he going to play at Bayern Munich? My opinion is he's too damn fast to not play. He's faster than Arjen Robben, so put him in the damn game. Even though that, you know, he doesn't have that killer left foot, but he did bang a great goal just the other day. Who did they play against? I forgot, but he scored. He was the only was it Seattle?
That sounds likely. They're one of the...
No, they just played Seattle, but...
They're an MLS team,
yes,
sure.
He scored, but he did score a great goal. It might have been against LAFC, I don't remember. But he... we know he's talented, very skilled, very athletic, and again, the stereotype of power and pace and all that stuff, but he does have power and pace. Let's not lose sight of that. He's very fast.
All right.
Okay? But he is clearly a talented footballer and shows a lot of promise. But is he going to play at Bayern Munich?
No.
Do you think he's going to be loaned, or he's actually going to play for the team, or play in German Cup stuff? Or what do you think?
I think he'll be like we see with a lot of teenagers, I think he'll go there. I think he'll probably be in with the academy for a season. That seems to be what they like to do. Then maybe if it goes well, if it seems like he's at that level, then they loan him out. Then if that loan goes well, then maybe they bring him back. I mean, I'm sad about it because I think it always helps a teenager develop when they're in a system, and it helps them kind of see soccer differently, see football differently. I guess you better get used to calling it football. But it's still
Fußball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fußenballen. I don't know. Just making it up now. But yeah, I mean, you then wonder, like, would it be better if he spent a couple more seasons playing, like, senior professional soccer, then got that move, a la, say, like, Tyler Adams, maybe, not to go Red Bulls again. I don't want to make you too upset.
It's fine.
But, I mean, that's the thing. And, like, I think he'll end up maybe playing for them, but I think it probably won't be for the next couple seasons at least.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's disappointing because I like seeing him play.
I brought it way down.
No. It's realistic. But could he be the Canadian Christian Pulisic?
I think so. Him and who's the one? Gianni Valutabla, the one who went to Barcelona.
Yeah.
I mean, there was definitely, as a U.S. national team fan, there was a moment of like, what is happening? Like, I don't know. When did Canada start exporting all these players to big name clubs?
Yeah.
Pulisic and Weston McKennie better come good or we're in trouble.
Yeah. I hope. I would just love to see him play. I think he's good enough to play very soon in Bundesliga.
Yeah.
I think the quality is there. Even I know I watched him. We went to the Gold Cup and Canada played against French Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there were six people in the stadium. It was really strange because it was a doubleheader. It was Canada, French Guiana, and
Wait,
then
was that six people, including you two?
Yes. There was nobody there. This was the headliner. That's like a comedy show.
Uh-huh.
They had two acts. They had Canada, French Guiana, and then they had Costa Rica against Honduras. Costa Rica against Honduras. I mean, there weren't enough seats for the amount of people that wanted to get into this game. It was insanely full.
But Canada, French Guiana, nothing.
I didn't even know French Guiana was a place. Okay.
I mean, no comment, I guess, is what I'm going to say.
No idea. I was just like, I know Guyana. I know France. What's this? What is this combination of the two? But French Guiana is the team. I wish I could remember his name. They had a player who was not, that shouldn't have been fielded, that he played for.
Oh, was that Maluda? Was that the Flor Maluda one?
Yeah, Flor Maluda. Yeah.
There we go.
He had played for France, I believe.
Yep.
And he also played for French Guiana. He was not allowed. He was on the field.
I think he still did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
we'll take the L.
Nobody's even heard of this country, so I'm playing.
Yeah. I mean, and really, it's like if you're going to no disrespect to French Guiana, but a little disrespect to French Guiana, like you're probably going to lose anyway, so why not?
Yeah.
Throw some people. Maybe that's the route to go if you're a smaller country. It's like, look, we're going to lose anyway. Let's just see if we can get Ronaldo to play for us once.
Yeah. So,
why not?
So as we were watching the game and watching Alphonso Davies play, he was just clearly the best player on the pitch, yeah, without a doubt, and no one could catch up to him. Clearly more skilled than everyone else, and so seeing that in person, seeing it up close, you're like, all right, this dude is the real deal, and I think he'll be fine in Bayern, I think he can hold his own. Maybe not in those not against Dortmund or whatever, but like, there's a Stuttgart. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, but I mean, they have that tradition. They have that ability to bring young players in, get them acclimated to the system. And I think that's the key thing. That's why I think while it's a bummer to just see him going to the academy, and we probably won't hear much from him for the next season, it is still the case that if he can prove that he belongs in that academy, then it means he stays in the Bayern system and they like him a lot.
Well, they're paying a lot of money for him.
There we go.
So
I'm also pretty pumped because forgive me, Canadian listeners, and maybe you all know better than I will, or Canadian certainly will. I'm saying Christian might. Is like, I don't know if there's still the tension between Quebec and the rest of the country, but I do like that we've got that Jean-Yves Balutabla and Alphonso Davies, the East Coast West Coast feud now.
Yeah. Okay.
Inner Canada feud. So we've got a little bit of that too. Yeah. Builds that drama in Canada. Maybe you get 12 people.
Yeah.
The next Canada,
yeah. It's like Nova Scotia versus just Vancouver and the West. those mountains out there. Whistler.
Oh boy.
Okay.
It's getting intense. It's getting intense.
The new Biggie and Tupac.
Speaking of getting intense in Canada, I guess that happened. Maybe that wasn't in Canada, but it happened to a Canadian team, right?
Yes. No, it wasn't very much in Canada.
Okay.
Ottawa Fury were hosting Toronto FC.
Thank you.
In the Canadian Championship. And obviously, if you don't know, but the Canadian Championship, the winner of the Canadian Championship gets a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. So these are very important games, just like the winner of the US Open Cup gets a spot in the Champions League.
That's right.
So So these games are very important to a lot of these teams. And Ottawa Fury, obviously, they play in what? I don't even know what league they play in.
I think they're in USL. They weren't at ASL. They switched over, yeah.
Okay.
I would not know that except that they play the Kickers.
Got it.
So that's what I got.
So Ottawa was playing against Toronto. Mm-hmm. As we know, the Toronto fans could be a little bit rowdy. Not too crazy. We've gone to BMO Field mm-hmm. to watch some games, and they have a supporters group called Inebriati, it's in their name. They can mm-hmm. they can get a little wild.
Yeah.
But this, and for the most part, I've never really heard of many issues. But this one with them, to which they claim responsibility for. But you may have seen a video.
I mean, when you're captured on film setting something on fire, you pretty much got to take responsibility.
Like, oh, okay.
There's no subtle way to get out
just
of that.
Literally
one.
Holding a lighter and there's ash in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like,
it was the other group. It was the other ones.
It wasn't me. What are you talking about? So they after the game, they were lighting a flare, and uh-huh. somebody recorded was filming them because mm-hmm. there was a fire in the field.
Yeah.
But a real fire, not yeah. And these are sometimes when like MLS when they have these rules that you can't bring smoke bombs right. and there's a lot of stuff like that, and sometimes I'm like, come on, guys, this is let us do our yeah. things, American soccer, let us have our
yeah.
thing, and this will be really fun. But this is one of those like, oh yeah, fire is like bad. Fire yeah, can
fire's like bad. Yeah. Christian Polanco, I'm gonna assume not yet a parent.
Based okay, on that look, one. I'm gonna put it out there. I know it's a bold statement to make. But fire is like kind of bad. Like it's like it goes like it hurts, it burns. I remember when I was a little kid, my parents, because there was a candle and uh-huh. my aunt's home, and I would always go there and I would always want to touch the candle. Yep. They were like, "Don't touch it, don't touch it."
Well, and it's weird, right? The little kid obsession with fire is weird. It's like, oh, like I can set the leaf on fire.
Yes,
and then maybe also the house.
And then my dad, I was a toddler, uh-huh. and my dad was like, "Let him touch it. He'll learn. This is how he learns."
Really?
I put my finger in the flame of the candle for like 6 seconds. And then I pulled it back and I was like, ah! Like I was like, I'm burning.
6 seconds?
It was a long time. I mean, I don't vividly remember it, but I remember the candle when I got older.
What? Oh man, what I really wanted that to end up though is like you just put your palm over the flame and like looked at your dad. Like, I don't feel anything.
You're never gonna defeat me, old man. Don't you dare. I was just a 2-year-old, like just with cold blood veins.
I like it.
That's a cool. I wish I was that guy still. But yes, that there was a huge fire. I mean, one of the TIFOs was set on fire because I don't know if it was specifically a smoke bomb, maybe a flare. But you know, you see this stuff, especially yeah. in Germany. This is very common part of the culture. You yeah. see the flares in Argentina, and they don't really allow that here because of possible fires.
Right.
In general, what is your opinion? Do you think like, oh, it's just a fire, not a big deal. It's still fun enough
yeah.
to allow it. Mm-hmm. Or do you think like, oh, you probably shouldn't bring flares to games?
I mean, I think they kind of hit the perfect storm there. It's like if you're going to bring a flare in and you're going to have the TIFOs and you're going to be called the inebriati, like you add those things up and equal sign is fire. Like if okay. you did that mathematical equation, I don't really have a problem with flares. I think flares are like kind of an awesome way to celebrate a goal I do think it, living in Turkey, flares everywhere, it's definitely an intimidation factor as well.
Sure, sure.
I think it is just the case that if you're going to name yourself basically saying we get very drunk, maybe you shouldn't be handling. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, 4th of July.
Okay.
It's why you don't have the drunk dad
yeah.
holding the firework in the air and lighting it at the same time.
They should rename their supporters group to Designated Driver Supporting Group.
Exactly, yeah. The responsible lottie.
Responsible lottie. And then maybe they'll get a little bit more license yeah. to bring a bunch of more flares.
Yeah. I do think, though, that, like, if you're in somebody else's stadium, then there is that line, too.
Yeah,
if you're
it's a little
like,
risky.
If you're trying to be a little bit, what's the word here, like, if you're just trying to engage, if you're trying to kind of, like, show off, like, get in the other team's face, that sort of thing, then it takes a different level. Then it takes a little bit more of, like, a hooligan-y vibe, which
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, like, fake hooligans.
Hooligans, you support, I hope.
I do, except for fake hooligans.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anybody pretending to be Alexis, then no. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think that's the other thing. Is like, if you're doing it to try to instigate. Instigate was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're trying to like be an instigator, then it's more frustrating than it is like a sort of like TIFO display, a moment of sort of like,
yeah,
we are
and this is very much an accident. Yeah. I mean, nothing more than that. And it's not even like, this isn't necessarily a poor reflection on Toronto FC, mm-hmm. on the inebriati or whatever.
Yeah.
They've been super cool. Even when they travel, they come to NYCFC all the time, mm-hmm. and they're great. So it's just unfortunate, but it does the visual is very effective, especially it goes viral.
Yeah.
People are like, look at these soccer maniacs. I don't want them in my town. It sucks a little bit, but we can't deny it makes the game more fun.
Isn't it weird how there's no, like, I feel like there's no in between. It's either like soccer's this lame sport for crybabies who die and blah, blah, blah.
Or it's like the dudes that we carry knives in our teeth.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I have a couple beers and watch the game, but you know, whatever. One or the other. I don't know which one I would side with there. I would prefer not to be stabbed. So yeah, maybe I'll go like the pleated khaki route and just be boring.
We'll say it on the show. Very much, Cooligans, Total Soccer Show, mm-hmm. anti-stabbing.
There we go. I'm not afraid to take that stance. I'm against crime, so I'm not ashamed to admit it.
last thing I wanted to talk about was the International Champions Cup. The ICC is going on right now throughout North America. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fun games that European teams are here for. They're sort of getting in, so kind of stealing the limelight of the World Cup Comedy Tour.
I mean, it's kind of frustrating. I feel like it's an intentional move.
I mean, we sent a cease and desist to them. Like, hey, we're doing this. You cannot do this at the same time.
We probably should do that. Just draw up some PR, sue them for this. Yeah. Stepping on our toes.
Recently in Charlotte, Liverpool was playing against Borussia Dortmund. Mm-hmm. So Christian Pulisic is in this game. And I mean, look, he runs the US right now. Like, okay. Like, everybody loves this kid.
Pretty much. Everybody,
they praise him. We boo Michael Bradley, right? We know the rules.
Yeah. We know the rules.
When it comes to the US men's national team players, we know exactly how it works.
Boo or angry stare at Michael Bradley. Yeah, that's
the only thing. That's the only way it works. So Christian Pulisic scored two goals.
Yep.
Great game. I think he really very much was like, all right, it was a big crowd. Yeah. He's like, this is my hometown.
Yep.
All these German dudes I play with, you're not taking any of my limelight.
He does do that, man. I've seen it. Same with the U.S. when he comes in and like he is kind of feeling it. You see him be like, this is my team now.
It's important to him, and it's nice to, as a fan of the U.S. men's national team, to see that leadership in such a young player.
Yeah.
And it makes us. It makes me a little bit more comfortable about the future. I'm like, all right, we got a guy that's comfortable being that guy at such a young age.
Yeah, I agree.
So. But there was a great moment after the two goals. I mean, even after there was a penalty that he drew, Mario Götze scored a World Cup goal, ended up winning the damn World Cup in 2014. But
what have you done for me lately, Christian?
I don't even see you, Götze. Where you been? You ain't trending on Twitter. Okay? Only Pulisic is hot right now. So... Mario Götze goes up to take the penalty, and this was, is it the same level of Cavani and Neymar?
Oh, what, the jacking the penalty?
Well,
first of all, was it Pulisic who earned it? It was, right?
Pulisic earned it,
fouled and then also slammed into a player? Yeah. I mean, so I think it maybe comes down to the player's choice then, but I do love that. I kind of hope it didn't. I kind of hope it was, like, Götze just trying to take that one away and Pulisic being like, no. I am the captain now. You go away.
I thought it was a good moment to see, and it felt a little bit bigger than just a preseason game.
Yeah, you're not wrong, man. It felt a little bit in that moment like, ooh, you are the old guard and that is the new guard.
Yeah.
And there's definitely, and you think about like some of like, you lose the players they've lost from Mats Hummels to Aubameyang in the last couple of years. And it does make you feel a little bit like, ooh, this is like a team in transition and maybe it's a team that can be sort of suddenly Pulisic front and center.
It was a bold move. Yep. Yeah. And as an American, like, I felt like it was important in America and important in Germany as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's sort of seeing that. And a couple weird things. So even before that, we met. So Alexis and I, we were in the airport. We were flying back from Portland.
Oh, that's right.
We stopped in Charlotte for our connecting flight. And we happened to be in Charlotte. We saw all these Dortmund jerseys, Liverpool jerseys everywhere. So we're like, why is the team flying like on our flight or something? But coincidentally.
Yeah, they're coming to Richmond.
They're coming. Yeah. So we're flying to Richmond.
World Cup Comedy Tour in Virginia Beach, actually.
And we meet Christian Pulisic's
and uncle, right?
And uncle.
Mm-hmm.
It's surreal. And Alexis, he had met them first. He's talking to them, and because he saw one guy in the U.S. Soccer, and then the woman was in Dortmund jersey. So we're like, oh, were you guys at the game?
Yeah.
And Alexis just mentioning like, oh, how cool. How's Pulisic? I didn't get to see the game. And he's like, oh, he did great. And he made the joke like, oh, it's cool to see him score against his next team.
Yeah.
Because that's the rumor, he might be going to Liverpool. And the guy was like, no, he's not going there. He's like, no, I think he's probably gonna go there. He's like, no, he's not going there. He's like, no, but I think he's going. And he's like, no, I'm his uncle. He's like,
and he's, shut down.
So it was just a great moment.
Wait, did you know who they were when that was happening?
No. I was on a phone call, and then I walked and I saw Alexis talking to two people, and I was like, oh my god, he's bothering these people. Let me go save them.
There we go.
But no, he's like, oh, this is Pulisic's uncle.
I think you guys should spin that. I think it should just be you're that good of like. Not to say TMZ is good by any stretch of the imagination, but you're that good of like investigative reporters that you got the uncle to reveal privileged information. So, like, no, I'm the uncle. I'm telling you it's not happening. He's not moving there. I've said too much.
I hope that that we're quoted in some article.
There we go.
You know, the Cooligans with the investigative journalism at the airport have found out Pulisic is staying in Dortmund and not going to Liverpool. So
that's how Alexis will say it.
So. But the thing that stood out in the game was really after the game, after Dortmund came back and won the game, there was a moment after when Pulisic is doing post-game interviews, talking to people, and a kid ran out from the stands and wanted to meet his hero. And as soon as he got there, he was like, hey, Christian, can I have your shirt? We love your shirt. And security, that's security's job when there's somebody just running on the field to kind of stop them. Mm-hmm. And they kind of manhandled this kid.
Yeah, they did.
A little too hard, and Christian Pulisic was not happy with how the security guy was handling this child. He couldn't have been older than maybe 11 years old, 10, 11 years old. But a cool moment. Christian Pulisic went up to the kid. Everybody from Dortmund started screaming at the security guard. The security guard was getting very defensive.
Yeah,
but he was like, hey, they were like, he's a kid. You got to be a little bit more respectful. I know he did something wrong.
Yeah.
But Christian Pulisic stopped the security guard, ended up taking a selfie with kid.
Yeah. I mean, that security guard was definitely taking his day out on the kid. It wasn't just, you're not supposed to be here. It was sort of like, I am embarrassed that you got by me and maybe you got by me twice or something. And he definitely did not need to haul that kid away, especially because, to your point, like Pulisic initially, like he runs up and says, can I have your shirt? And he's like, no, sorry, man. Like he definitely isn't going to do anything. And then he's like, all right, see ya. And then realizes that there's a kid about to be like body slammed. And then he jumps in and then it becomes more of a thing.
Because we do see when the pitch invaders on the field, they're usually pretty fast and quite elusive, right? These fat stewards can't really catch them that easily.
Have you ever seen the one? It's from like an Astros game. And maybe it was staged, but it's like the dude looks like he is an actual like parkour artist or something. He gets away. He like climbs the wall.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's what I want. That's what I want from my pitch invaders.
So
or a selfie on the field.
Yeah. But that was cool of Pulisic to do that.
Yeah. It's a level of cool that I would never have.
Yeah.
And I watched it genuinely. When I watched that, I was like, I wish I were that cool. Just to be like, hey, like throws the mic down. Like he genuinely throws the mic down and go.
Yeah. It's weird seeing the response online, though, because some people are like, oh, he's, Christian Pulisic, what a hero. What a cool thing that probably inspired that kid. Mm-hmm. And then some people are like, kids should not be rewarded for doing bad things. And it's like, I understand both accounts. But it is crazy, but it is a kid, right? And it's like how much he's trying to see his hero. How much should we go crazy punishing him for it?
I mean, I hope he doesn't get like I think when Pussy Riot did the pitch invasion, they got 15 days in Russian prison. I'm going to assume this kid doesn't get that.
Imagine this kid is in Pussy Riot. Imagine we learned this.
Another protest. It's a very isolated protest.
Wow.
So, I mean, but I'm with you also because like, that is the beginning of a sports story, right? Like years from now, if that kid becomes like the first kid to win the World Cup, and it starts with him running onto the field to try to meet Christian Pulisic, there we go.
Yeah, then I'm gonna go back to my Twitter timeline. You were wrong.
Yeah,
40 years from now.
Of course, then if he becomes a mugger, then it's just sort of like, this is the origin story.
Yeah, I'm gonna
of
be
him.
Like, hey man, you know what?
Yeah,
you're right. You, yeah, you, right? You saw something
exactly,
I didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't be rewarding children for doing bad things.
We'll reconvene you and me in 15 years. We'll see where that kid is. We'll see how it's gone.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then we'll go from there.
It'll be like one of those reunion shows.
I like it.
It was like a Jersey Shore reunion show.
Let's not make it that.
Imagine this kid
it'll
ends up on Jersey Shore.
Way less penicillin needed.
All right, everyone. Taylor, did you
on that note,
did you have fun?
Of course,
doing this?
Man. Yeah.
This was exciting. Very different. Look, and make sure you listen to Alexis on the Total Soccer Show.
Absolutely.
Go to totalsoccershow.com. Look him up on iTunes. Great dudes. We're still doing the World Cup Comedy Tour. We're having an absolute blast. But Taylor, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you very much for having me. It is genuinely an honor and a privilege and a pleasure because I am so enamored of what y'all do because it's fundamentally so different than what Daryl and I do that I don't like you're not competition. And even if you were, like, it's just I think Daryl always says like rising tide whatever
lifts
for all
boats
lifts
whatever lifts all boats, yeah,
but like that's genuinely I feel, but also just that you all do such a different take on soccer in this country than I think anyone else is doing. You do it in a very funny way. You do it in a very entertaining way. We listened to it, for like 15, 20 minutes on the way from Omaha to Kansas City.
Which is the weirdest thing
ever. It was awesome, man. I was tired. I know. I'm sure that was weird for you.
Listening to ourselves in a car.
Yeah. But I mean, it was like, we were all kind of tired. It'd been a late night and early morning, yeah, but it was still like we were cracking up, man. You guys are great. So I really appreciate what you do. And I appreciate
Thank
you
so much. I know that
on.
you were, before I asked you to do this, you were excited about being able to curse. I don't think you swore on the show yet. Do you want to say one swear before we go?
Fuck.
Yes. So with that, we usually wrap up the show.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we have our chant, screaming the Cooligans.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do that. I'm going to do that with you.
Screaming the Cooligans?
Yeah. So for Alexis Garros, who is not here, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Taylor Rockwell.
And together, all of us, what are we?
The Cooligans!